Good afternoon, congregation. Once again, warm welcome to visitors amongst us. Council has the following announcement. There will be a meeting with Council, with the church visitors, this Wednesday evening starting at 7:30. Furthermore, attestation has been received from Brian DeLue, comes to have some Canadian Reformed Church at Yarrow. And the song of approach this afternoon will be from hymn 4.
All who are able, please rise. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. With angels and archangels, all the company of heaven and the church on earth, let us worship the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Receive his greeting. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. We continue praising our God by singing the stanzas 5 through 8 of Psalm 103. This afternoon we confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. As our amen to the creed, let us sing stanzas 1 and 7 of hymn 28. This is what we confess with God's people of all times and places. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray the prayer which Jesus, our Savior, taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This afternoon we continue to hear God's word in the Old and New Testaments. First we turn to Joshua chapter 1, after that to prophet Zechariah chapter 3, and finally to the gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. First then, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And as a response to these readings, we'll sing the stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalm 25. Hear the word of God fulfilled in Jesus, the Savior. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And now we turn to prophecy of Zechariah chapter 3, where we read about another Joshua, Joshua the high priest. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, if you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O High Priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant the branch. See, the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty." And finally, we read about the New Testament Joshua, Jesus, in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is God's word, and we give thanks to him. This afternoon, we have come to Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which you find on page 527 in the Book of Praise, and we will now read that together. This Lord's Day begins a new section in the second part of the Catechism, our deliverance. The heading is God the Son and our redemption. And here we confess. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, Savior? Because he saves us from all our sins, and because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. Do those who seek their salvation or well-being in saints, in themselves, or anywhere else also believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No. Though they boast of him in words, they in fact deny the only Savior, Jesus. For one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or those who by true faith accept this Savior must find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. after the proclamation of God's word, as we confess it, let's sing Psalm 25, the stanzas 3 through 5. Congregation of Jesus, our Savior, what does it mean that Jesus is your Savior? That might seem like quite a simple question to answer. That Jesus is your Savior simply means that He has saved you from all your sins. That's the most basic message of the Bible. And we may be inclined to think that what we confess here in Lord's Day 11, for that reason, is rather obvious, it's rather basic. Well, how important it is for us to return time and again to the basics of our faith, those things that we might consider too obvious to spend too much time on. It's often those very things that we need to be reminded about in order to live again in the joy and in the hope of our salvation daily. Those basic, obvious things that we confess are very important for everyone who desires to be saved. Lord's Day 11, then, we spend some time considering what the Bible teaches us about that name, Jesus. We just read in Matthew chapter 1 that the angel of the Lord had told Joseph to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the name Jesus, is the New Testament version of the Old Testament name Joshua, or Yeshua, as it's said in Hebrew. Two men in the Bible have that name, Joshua the son of Nun, we read about in Joshua 1. He led God's people out of the desert and into the promised land. And then there was Joshua the high priest, who was one of the leaders who brought God's people back home after their exile in Babylon. In both cases, these men had names that were appropriate to the main actions we remember them for. They were both men who showed that God saves. God saves His people. That's exactly what their name, Joshua, means. God saves. Yet, as we know, both of these men were incomplete saviors. They had to rescue God's people from bad situations, and they did. But neither of them could save God's people from their sins. In fact, like we read about Joshua the high priest, he had to be cleansed. He had to be forgiven his sins before he could carry out his role as high priest of God's people. And the same is true for Joshua, the son of Nun. It's true that Joshua, the son of Nun, was a courageous leader of God's people, more courageous than many of the other leaders. It's also true that Joshua, the high priest, was instrumental in bringing God's people back from exile. And for that reason, he too was important in the history of God's people. And yet, God's people needed another Savior. They needed a better one. And brothers and sisters, we must realize that we, just as much as God's people back then, desperately need such a Savior. For there is no other Savior. We need to be reminded about this, don't we? We're told from many different quarters that what we really need is, is better environmental policies, better economic policies, better human rights, and many other things that we need, we're told on a daily basis. And as such, the desire for many of these things may be legitimate. But brothers and sisters, may we never forget that what we and all people need most is salvation from sin. That is the real problem of this world. That is the real problem that needs to be solved for all mankind. We and all people need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world to deliver people from their sins. Jesus' name, you see, wasn't appropriate simply because it was a good Jewish name that had a nice ring to it. No, the name Jesus sums up his entire calling, his whole ministry, the very reason he came down to earth. Jesus' name tells us why we and all people must believe in him lest we perish. Remember what Acts 4 says. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved. You see, that's why it's so wrong when people, even Christians sometimes, are willing to talk a lot about Jesus, but never about sin and humanity's need to be saved from sin. To simply speak of Jesus or to simply believe that Jesus existed, as many also of other religions believe, is not enough. That's something we need to remember when we talk to other people. They might say, oh yes, I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But they may mean something very different from what the Bible teaches, that he is the only Savior. People must believe that he is the only Savior. When we and others seek our well-being and salvation in saints, in ourselves, or anywhere else, then we are in fact denying that Jesus is the only Savior, even if we still say that we believe he is. And that's true for every human being. It's not enough for people to give a nod to Jesus, to be respectful toward Jesus, to say that they believe in him. They need to acknowledge, all need to acknowledge that he is the only Savior. We confess here in Lord's Day 11, in the second question and answer, at the end of that answer, for one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or those who by true faith accept the Savior must find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. That too is important for us to remember. Jesus not only saves us, he also fills us. When we say that our salvation and well-being rest in Jesus, the only Savior, then we're not only talking about salvation, but we're also talking about everything else that Jesus gives to us. Let's remember that. Because we can also err in that respect. Jesus doesn't just save us from our sins. He also brings us into his kingdom. This is something that we see in shadow form already in those two Old Testament Joshuas. When Joshua, the son of Nun, brought Israel out of the desert, then he brought them into the promised land. And that's how it went later with Joshua the high priest too. Joshua the high priest didn't just bring God's people out of Babylon. He also brought them back into the promised land. Both these Joshuas, you see, showed God's people of old what kind of Savior God is. And what kind of Savior the coming Messiah would be. A Savior who both saves and blesses. A Savior who saves by blessing. A Savior who saves His people from their sins and who, as He does that, fills them with the blessings of His kingdom. And that's something, too, that we must never forget. We need to always remember that Jesus didn't just come into the world to take away our sins. He also came to bring you and me into His glorious kingdom. Jesus, in other words, didn't just come into this world to take something away from you and me. Our sins. He also came into this world to give you and me something and all who believe. Eternal life, fellowship with Him, joy in the Spirit, peace with others, and all the other blessings of His kingdom. Jesus came into this world not only to remove our sins, but also to pour out the boundless love of God into our hearts until we are full. Remember what the Apostle Paul teaches in Colossians 2. He says there these remarkable words, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." In other words, in Christ, all God's fullness dwells. And then Paul says this, "And you have been given fullness in Christ." That's what God says to all who believe in Jesus, the only Savior. You have been given fullness in Christ. Now let that sink in. When you believe in Christ and confess that He is your Savior, then you are also given all His fullness, not only spiritually, but also physically, emotionally, materially, and in every other way. When you know Jesus as your Savior, then you will find in Him everything you need for body and soul. Peter says something similar in 2 Peter 1. God's divine power in Christ has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Let that sink in. Think of anything you might need, whatever that might be. Just take a moment to think about that. What might you need? What do you think you really need to have in your life? Know that in Christ you have it. In Christ you have all that you need. Let's never forget that, brothers and sisters. It's not our own hard work that is going to ensure our well-being. Nor can we depend on other people to take care of us and to fill our deepest needs and to supply us with the things that we crave. We're not going to find fullness, satisfaction, or joy in the things that we want, or the emotions that we want satisfied. We are only going to find our fullness in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Let's not look anywhere else for satisfaction. Our salvation and well-being rest in Jesus, the only Savior. Jesus saves us, and Jesus fills us. Pretty basic? Yes, it is. But let's never mutter these words of our confession as if they're too obvious and simple to repeat. Let's confess Jesus as our only Savior with joy, with thanksgiving, with confidence. Let's remember Jesus' name and what it means. Let's use it by all means and praise Him. Let's remember always, in God, in Jesus, God has saved me from my sins. And in Jesus, I am filled with every blessing from God that I will ever need. And more. I need not look anywhere else. It's all in Him. Amen. deacons will now collect our offerings for those who are in need. After that, let us sing the stanzas 5 and 6 of hymn 28. Our congregational prayer today, also remember that Sister Heidi Vorhorst's mother has returned home after a long stay in the hospital in Coaldale, Alberta. We're thankful that she can be home again, and we pray that the treatment that she has received to remove her infection will have its desired effects as tests are done in the coming week. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, you are a loving, compassionate, merciful God. And we have been reminded about that in a very simple way this afternoon, in the name that you gave your Son, Jesus, the one who saves us from our sins, the one who reveals to us that you are a saving, merciful, and good God, that your grace is boundless. Father, we give thanks that you have revealed your Son Jesus to us, because we need him more than anything else in life, more than anyone else in life. We need your Son to deliver us from our sins and to bring us into your kingdom. Father, we are filled with joy, and we give thanks to you for this gospel message. May that joy overflow in our lives, not only this day, but every day. And may this joy grow more and more as we become more and more aware of the greatness of your love and mercy in Jesus Christ. May it overflow in such a way that we also convey to others at every opportunity the joy that we have in you. We also convey to others who do not know you as the only Savior that there is only salvation in him. Gracious Father, we thank you not only for saving us from our sins, but everything that you have promised to us. Father, it is also within this reality, within this awareness, that we call upon you for everything that we need in body and soul. We pray for Sister Voorhorst's mother. Give thanks that finally she may come home again. We pray that the treatment that she has received may have the desired effect of eradicating the infection. And Father, we pray that you would grant that she may enjoy good health again. Gracious God, we pray for all loved ones who are sick and suffering. Lay your blessing upon them and help them all to seek your face, to find you near. Gracious Father, we pray for all those who are recovering from injury and surgery among us. Continue to bless your children. You know all the particular needs of each one of your children, even those that we do not name, those that we name perhaps only in our hearts. You know them all. Father, we pray that each one of us may experience your goodness and care and provision and seek your provision daily. Father, we also remember our sister Jane Bijsterveldt in this respect. We ask that you would grant her a good recovery too. Father, we pray for your blessing upon the church visitation that is scheduled for this coming Wednesday evening. We pray that it may be a blessing for the office bearers and in turn for your people here in Cloverdale. We pray that you would grant safety to the church visitor who will be coming from afar. Lord, we ask that you would continue to watch over us as your congregation. Bless us with peace. Bless us with unity. Bless us with a lively fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that we may be building one another up as brothers and sisters, that we may be walking together on our journey into your kingdom, that we may be supporting and encouraging each other, that we may admonish each other, and that we may also be patient with one another as we make that journey. Father, we ask also at this time of the year, for your blessing upon this earth. You have promised that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And we believe that promise, O Lord. We pray for your blessing upon the seed that will be planted in the fields. We pray for your blessing upon all that is done to provide for the needs of humanity, the labor of people's hands, so that people are clothed and fed and taken care of. You, O Lord, as our Father and our Creator, are the one who supplies everything. And so we turn to you for your blessing on all our labors, on everything that we do. We realize that when we have your blessing, that then we will be abundantly provided. Gracious God, continue to watch over our nation. We pray that you would guide and lead and direct the hearts of all those who are in positions of power in government at all levels, and also those in the law courts of this land. Father, be with the civil service as well, and all those who serve in the military and in the police forces. Father, watch over our nation. Guide and keep us as your people. Be merciful to us. Do not hold the sins of this nation against us. Grant that instead we may lead this nation in repenting of sin, of murder, and idolatry, and other sins against you. And that as a people, we may acknowledge you alone as God and King in every way. We pray that this may be true not only in our land, but all over this world, among our neighbors in the United States, who are in the middle of preparing for another election for president, and all over this world. Father, cause your peace to be known and to be experienced. Father, we lay all these things before you because we know that you are a God who listens to those who call out to you. You are not only a God who is far away and distant and high in heaven, but you are also the God who dwells with those who are humble and who walk with you. You are God who lives in us by his Spirit. And so we pray that you will hear us and answer us as we offer this prayer to you. In the name of Jesus, our only Savior. Amen. Let us stand and sing as our parting song this afternoon, our confession in Lord's Day 1, "What is in life and death my only aid?" Let's do that standing. Brothers and sisters, receive the blessing of the triune God and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.